This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time for Emergence News on Plains FM 96.9, citizen-made radio.
Hello and welcome to Emergence News, coming to you from Plains FM Christchurch. Our story has to do with the coming one, the Lord of Love himself, Maitreya by name, the fifth Buddha, as prophesied by the Buddha 2,500 years ago. With him will come 40 of his disciples, the masters of wisdom. Already the Lord Maitreya and 14 of his masters are living in the everyday world, and are interacting with people all over the world in a very subtle way, not to spook anyone. That really is what he's doing in a very gentle way. This will come to a head on the day of declaration, when the Lord Maitreya will announce his arrival and offer his advice to us on how to create a new civilization based on love, justice, and sharing. Here with me today are Shafir and John, to enlighten us. So, John, what are you doing here?
I'm enlightening you, Peter. That's pretty optimistic. I'm going to talk a little bit. Well, I've found some information where Benjamin Creme describes beautifully the Day of Declaration.
Great. That'll be great. And Shafir, what have you got for us there?
So I'm going to be talking a little bit about after the Day of Declaration. And rather than just say all the things that Benjamin Creme says, I'm actually going to be sharing some words of a vision that was given to a woman called Vera Stanley Alder.
Oh, she's fantastic, isn't she? Absolutely fantastic. Yes. Well, thanks very much, guys. Now, Benjamin Creme has said that the technology we have today has been released to humanity, like the TV network and that sort of thing. It's not just for the Soccer World Cup, but it's actually to enable Maitreya and the Masters to communicate directly with humanity. So that's really what it's all set up for. The Day of Declaration is the turning point for our possible move to see ourselves as one humanity and seek a more spiritual life, seeking justice and an end to war on this most beautiful planet. The Lord of Love will so fill our hearts that we will never forget the sheer power of his love and rejoice forever that we were here at this turning point. The spontaneous healing will overwhelm us, the deep knowledge and awareness that we're firstly spiritual beings will cause many to lose the fear that controls us so easily. Our focus will be to fix all that is wrong as we forget about ourselves and work to help all that have unfulfilled needs. For all this has the Christ, the Lord Maitreya, come to guide us and to remain with us for the next 2,500 years. This is the Day of Days.
Well, Peter, nice introduction. In fact, I've got a strong urge to leave the room. That was so good. Feel a little bit, maybe behind the eight ball here, but I've gone to my favourite place, the Sheer International website, and I've looked at the Day of Declaration. And firstly, I've come across a couple of key points which I think may help people understand the process. Creme and his master were asked, how can Maitreya touch the hearts of the millions needed to change direction? And when we look at life on planet Earth at the moment, we can see this real division. 70 million people voted for Donald Trump to have a second term as president. 78 million voted for Joe Biden. So we can see this real division. And there are many, many people that will not be interested in this story. So where does this power come from? The master has come back and said, the answer lies in the potency of his energies, Maitreya's energies. And never before has a teacher of such power stood before the world. With each word uttered, his beneficent force flows from heart to heart. Useless and unnecessary is argument and debate. His truth calls forth the truth in the heart of the listener, and in the crucible of their shared divinity is recognised as truth itself. So from that I picked up that there's a degree of the population that will recognise Maitreya and his message, and that population is growing. But for those that are resistant, there will be this incredible person of power and stature.
Mm-hmm.
And they will still get the heart stimulation, yes, which they perhaps have never had in their lives.
Boom. Yes. So Benjamin Creme's gone on to write, he calls it the Day of Declaration, a heartfelt truth by Benjamin Creme. It was a talk given in 2009 in San Francisco, actually. Benjamin Creme goes, the Christ will point to the need of the world to see itself as one. We are one world. We must make our world one, with war a thing of the past. Then the masters can help us. So there's this, we need to give up war before the good guys can come forth and talk to us. And I guess that makes sense. Then they can show us the way to build the most wonderful civilization that Earth has ever seen. This coming civilization will be created by humanity, inspired, guided, and led by the masters. Maitreya uses all his extraordinary intelligence, wisdom, and love to help humanity forward, to shield and protect us. When Maitreya says, I am your shield, he means it absolutely, concretely. So there's this, again, this person of stature and power, mm-hmm, that will be presented to humanity. Creme talks about Maitreya appearing on television in the USA and later in Japan. And we know that over the years there has been television appearances by Maitreya speaking to audiences.
Since 2009, isn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm, right. So Creme says Maitreya speaks very simply so that everyone can understand him. And therefore, when Maitreya talks, you know it is true. He speaks directly from the heart to the heart. And that energy which comes from being the embodiment of love awakens that love in your heart, and you believe what he says because you know it's true. It is the only truth there is. You feel it deeply within you. There is no gainsaying that simple message of trust, hope, sharing, justice, and peace as a result. And as Peter's just said, there'll be this outpouring of love that everybody will recognise and feel.
And just to be clear for the listeners, he's not appearing as Maitreya until the Day of Declaration.
Right.
He's appearing as an ordinary person.
With very good ideas around how to manage the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. When enough people are responding to Maitreya in this way, he'll be asked to come on television and speak to the whole world, now known to many as the Christ. Many will see him and think, I'm sure that is the man Creme has been talking about. This is Creme talking. So there's a little bit of a joke there, a little bit of an in-joke. The television networks will be linked together for this event, and all eyes will see him, as it says in the Bible. You will see his face, you will feel that energy, and you will say, only the Christ could fill my heart with that love. Maitreya is omniscient and omnipresent, and on that day, all adult people in the world will hear his voice inwardly. So this is outpouring of love. We see this this person, and he will, for 25 minutes or so, create this liaison, this telepathic rapport between him and us, and you will know that you're hearing the truth. And when he talks about adults, he means people over 14 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have this outpouring of love. We're going to have this telepathic rapport with a great being. And as Peter said, for many of us, it'll be the first time in our lives. And the masters have said people everywhere will become like little children, full of trust, full of love, full of goodness, full of hope, full of aspiration with all that they have lost since growing up, before they became hardened, commercialized, rigid, fearful, and untrusting. So once this love pours out, we will have this individual but shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see this person, you'll feel the love, you'll have rapport, and you'll feel this embrace of this Christ principle.
And he'll speak to us telepathically.
And he'll speak telepathically. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we'll all be able to talk about this. Do you remember the day when?
Yes.
And I think because it's that shared experience, it'll start that process of uniting humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I work in a big organisation which only has one training centre. We've all been to that training centre. We've all got a similar process around training, and it unifies us as an organisation.
Mm.
So having that shared experience, that do you remember the day conversation when we're all a bit older, is a unifying experience. I think it's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
On the day of declaration, Maitreya's energy pours out to humanity. This will evoke an outburst of our own love. He will stimulate our own love. And as Peter has pointed out, it may be the first time for some people where they've felt this. We will recognise it and see that this is the message of truth. Our hearts will tell us this is the truth. It could not be otherwise. Maitreya is also going to fill us in on some history. He's going to talk about we must share, we must live in right relationship, we must make justice and peace as the way we operate. But he's going to talk about how old we are. He's going to talk about our evolution on planet Earth. He's going to tell us from how high we have fallen into our current state of materialism and commercialization, and that market forces are squeezing the lifeblood out of humanity.
Mm.
I tell you now, this is written in 2009. I think many people on the planet are starting to get that, are starting to realize that it's greed that is causing us so much pain. So he's talking about squeezing the lifeblood out of humanity. People are suffering for no other reason than they were born into poverty, not fear.
Mm.
He's going to give us glimpses of the coming civilization. There's going to be spontaneous healing. So with this telepathic rapport, with this love, with this embrace, there will be spontaneous healings. And he will overshadow the minds and hearts of people everywhere. This Christ principle will go out, the energy of love. So there'll be not only this very strong message, this unifying process, but also spiritual healing. The masters call it the days of days. It will be a day without precedence. There has never been a day like it. No one on earth has experienced anything like it. You will tell it to your children, and they will tell it to others. So in the history of this solar system, it will be a momentous occasion.
Mm.
And I don't think any other planets had a Christ, and B, had this day of declaration. So humanity will be quite unique. He's going to talk about revelation. He's going to talk about the UFOs, the nature of our identity with God, and a new approach to God. So we'll get a backstory, we'll get some history, and we'll get a hint of the way forward. He says, take your brother's need as the measure of your actions and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course. Bring on the day.
Bring on the day.
In fact, that's great, John. Thank you.
This is the Emergence News on Plains FM. For more information, go to shareinternational.org.
So I decided for today's programme that I would share a story of the possible future for humanity. This story is a snapshot from a book by one of the early pioneers of the New Age wisdom, which started to be given out at the beginning of last century. The author is a woman called Vera Stanley Alder, who wrote several books. Her skill was to be able to write in such a way that the often weighty tomes of the early theosophists were made more accessible to people who were not dedicated students. She is one of the authors recommended by Benjamin Krem. The part I'm going to share comes from her book titled From the Mundane to the Magnificent. She calls it an autobiographical adventure in which she shares experiences she had in the 1940s during World War II. A seeker after truth, she experienced what is often called divine discontent or the dark night of the soul, where the need to know and understand truth of who we are becomes overwhelming. The saying goes, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And during a period of desperation and confusion, her teacher, Raphael, visits her. He teaches her how to consciously leave her body and in her astral form, takes her on all sorts of adventures, showing her the reality underlying the fog of glamour and delusion that most of us walk around in. On his last visit, Raphael gives Vera a glimpse into the future beyond the Day of Declaration. I wanted to share part of this story because it echoes much of what we've talked about on these programmes and was experienced years before Benjamin Krem took on the role of preparing the way for Maitreya. We join them in the story as they're riding on an Airbus over the England of the future, and Vera is speaking. She says, "The panorama upon which we gazed had an unusual aspect. Instead of looking like a patchwork quilt with occasional bits of wood or forest, the reverse arrangement was lying before us. It was a patchwork made of forest and trees, many nut-bearing. There were no hedged-in fields or properties. Instead, the public highways were bordered with broad carpets of cereals, salads and herbs, which people gathered as they chose while tending and planting with enthusiasm and delight. Skirting these garden roads were rich stretches of fruit bushes and trees. Bees, butterflies and birds could be seen swarming over all the wealth of this harvest. I began to observe more closely the signs of human habitation. Certainly there were many buildings, but they seemed to take on the quality of their surroundings, reflecting the sun or the green verdure. They looked as if built on dragonflies' wings. The houses are made of a kind of glass, explained Raphael, through which run currents of warmth drawn from atomic energy. Our airship started to circle over formation like a flower. The centre of the design was occupied by a great building from which smaller ones radiated on all sides. We're looking at a small community town, said Raphael. The big central building houses all the community's social needs. Its clubs and entertainment centre, health services, industrial unit, prayer sanctuary and schools. The people live largely on fruit, nuts, salads and sprouted cereals. All the people are artists at handicraft and make each other's clothes and furniture on an exchange and barter system. There is no money as we now know it. They are self-governed and contribute to the government of their land and also to world government. Vera says it's like a paradise, but could such a wonderful way of living really come to pass? Of course it could and will, exclaimed Raphael. It would come about fairly soon if we could break the world money complex. We are all slaves to money at present because we are all slaves to fear. Fear for our own security and ourselves. We forget, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else shall be added unto you. Come now, we'll go and see London. I do not hear any engine on this plane, I remarked. All is done by atomic energy, was the reply. It is noiseless, fumeless, and very economical. It is drawn from the air itself and stored and released by means of the manipulation of vibrations and colour rays. Ah, here is London. I looked down. At first I could discern nothing but a garden landscape with occasional big buildings. Finally I realised that I was in fact gazing upon huge stretches of gardens built upon flat roofs of a great city. There was no smoke, no chimneys and no noisy traffic. Children were playing on the roof gardens or tending their salad beds. There seemed to be little street life and hardly any shops. As I told you, explained Raphael, people make beautiful things for each other, all the craftsmen along some line, so shops are hardly necessary. All surplus production in food and goods are exchanged with other countries for things which cannot be produced here. Share the world's resources. It seems very much an outdoor life, I exclaimed. That is all very well, but what about the proverbial English climate? Well, all that tree planting has reverted the climate to what nature originally intended, continued my companion. Correct forestation regulates the moisture, disperses the winds, and subdues both heat and cold. When this is carried out all over the world under the supervision of the world government, the climate has changed for the better. Soil erosion is conquered, so are droughts, deserts, famines, floods and hurricanes. It all seems so simple and obvious to these people now that they've accomplished it. Raphael, this is all very desirable and ideal, I said, but what could possibly happen to change the world so much? My friend evidently approved of my question and answered, these two world wars are in reality one war, and their repercussions will linger on for decades. They will have rooted out the terrible complacency in which humanity dwelt at the beginning of the century. Mankind has determined with his famous free will to learn his lessons the hard way, through the stimulation of almost outrageous suffering and degradation. But evolution must go on. All the dregs and repressions will rise to the surface, and thus people will be shown their present state so clearly that a great worldwide reaction, revulsion and aspiration will take place. It will create a spiritual revolution that will enable the greatest event in the world history to take place. The greatest event? What could that possibly be? Actually, you do know, but it's not is it not extraordinary how asleep people still are to the most vital things in life? This is supposed to be a Christian country. Christ told us that he would come again. The Jews believe in the coming of the Messiah. In the East, they await the Maitreya. The ancient Egyptians had it all mapped out in their amazing astrology. They spoke of the ever-coming one who appeared at each great sign of the zodiac to give humanity its next lesson in evolution. Yet with all our history and research, we remain blind and asleep to the fact that this is indeed now the end of the age in which Christ spoke, and that therefore the second coming is closely upon us. The pulse of destiny is racing. The old and obsolete civilizations will be broken apart. Humanity will be scattered in all directions. From the debris and the ashes, the phoenix of the new age will rise. A generation of new and unconditioned peoples will come to birth and build a new age. Come, he said, and see the crowning moment of the future. We left the Airbus and entered into what appeared to be a large and beautiful college. People were streaming silently into it from all directions. We passed into a great hall at one end, of which there was an enormous television screen. The people assembled in utter silence, waiting. Raphael gripped my arm. A golden light gradually built up on the screen. It blazed with ever greater intensity until a figure suddenly appeared in its midst. I could hardly bear to look at him, but he soon began to speak. His words were very few and very slow. They seemed to instill meaning and realization other than physically. I felt a great invisible intercommunication at work in the great hall. Presently the figure faded out. The people remained silent and immobile, absorbing what had been given to them. What you have just seen will be a world event taking place regularly everywhere. It will be the greatest thing in people's lives. In each country, initiates will hold regular meditation meetings to amplify and study the new teachings. These teachings will give understanding to the human being's real function on this planet, of the techniques in helping with the evolution of all the kingdoms in nature, with international relationships and the pattern of living that will eventually produce a world organism rather than a world government. This will also result in a world religion in which each faith will find its rightful place. I sighed. It would be so wonderful, Raphael, but when will it happen? We will have to go through all the trials inherent in wrong living, such as war, disease, and ignorance, until our ultimate revolt arrives and we realize that we must make a stand for integrity at all costs. This reaction has already begun amongst hundreds of humanitarians and inspired pioneers who are sowing the seeds of progress for the next 100 years. As he leaves her, Raphael gives her one last reminder. Remember that you are an embryonic deity, as we all are, and such as a one must develop integrity, will, and creativeness. Bear in mind that such is your goal. You'll be given every possible test, trial, and experience in the polishing process, which the soul exerts upon the personality in order to make possible the kingdom of heaven on earth.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, thanks very much. Mm. Yeah, that's marvellous.
You really had me there, Shafiq.
Yes, but isn't it amazing that that was written sort of over 70 years ago?
Who was Raphael?
Raphael was her teacher.
Yeah.
But
her guide.
Do we know
who? Vera Stanley Alder.
Yeah, no, but do we know, was he a master? Was he an initiate?
He was initiate, yes. Yeah. Mm. He is an initiate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm,
okay. But not one who incarnates.
Not one of the masters.
Not one who incarnates, no, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
There are very many different levels, aren't there?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Very prophetic.
Great.
Yes, amazing, mm. Yes. And what a world to look forward to, eh?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All this information can be found on the Share International website, www.share-international.org. Scorpio Books in Christchurch carries the magazine and some books. And also don't forget the podcasts, which are available on the Plains FM website.
We welcome your comments, questions and feedback. Please contact us at emergencenews@gmail.com.
The opportunity to join our transmission is available Monday and Wednesday evenings and Thursday mornings, which gives us the possibility to do a service meditation in conjunction with Masters.